So
Hi.
welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. As you know, I think we're having a little bit of technical difficulty.
Yep.
So I believe that the topic for tonight was the bridge walk. Is that right?
The topic for tonight is the bridge walk, and even more timely than that is our journey to Zambia.
Ah, okay. You want to?
We are literally en route.
Literally meaning heading towards the airport, I think, yeah?
Actually just gave them our bags.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, this is action-packed. We are
yeah.
on the way.
We are on the way. That's when you know you're going, is when you no longer have your bags.
Yep. So would you like to give us an overview of the trip, or what would you think would be most helpful?
Sure, absolutely. What's really fun is that, there's been so much practice happening back here at home that it's been a year since we were on the ground in Ndola.
Wow, that is shocking.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many things about that. One, it makes the trip so, so special. I mean, it's always, as you know, you've been there, so much fun to go and so inspiring and heart-opening. But not having been there in a year, I think it was, I was talking to Sherry on the Thursday night radio show recently saying I had just gotten a photo of little Sherry. We can't really call her baby Sherry anymore because she's going to be in first grade next year.
Wow.
But I'd just gotten a photo of her, and I realized, oh, my gosh, these kids have grown a ton even since I last saw them, and usually I see them often.
Hey,
so,
Jen, I'm going to interrupt you for just a second.
Okay.
Ashwini is with us now, I believe.
Oh,
Ashwini, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks, Justin.
Great.
So, Ashwini, I was just in the middle of just giving Justin an overview that we were literally en route for the trip, just gave them our bags. And I was just saying how because it's been such a full year of practice here at home, it's been a whole year since we were there on the ground. And so, you know, that makes the trip really extra special in many ways because it's been so long since we've been there. And one of the things about that that's just really moving to me and noteworthy is that there's no way, even a few years ago, that we could have done that, that we could have not been there for an entire year. But it speaks volumes to the maturity of the whole project on all sides that we can do that and that the project can continue on in the way that it is.
Right, and it sort of speaks to all of the structures that we're putting in place and the evolution of the project itself. Right, Jen?
Yeah.
In that we've got such solid communication with the folks there that we can do that.
Yeah.
And you know, you were saying that it's a special trip because it's been such a while since we've been there, but it's also a special trip because it seems to coincide with a focus that we're going to have in practice this quarter.
Exactly.
And it actually coincides also with the fact that we're kicking off the bridge walk season. So in so many ways, it's like life bringing us the opportunity to talk about and really re-examine or reflect and contemplate why we do this work.
It's so true, Ashwini. And you know what I just saw as you said that was that one of the things that I certainly respond to in this particular practice, and I hear people talk about it a lot, is how experiential it is. So it's not just ideas and things that we think about and talk about, but it's the actual experience of it. So you're right. It's really perfect that we should be kicking off this next piece of the year, which I think we'll talk about in a minute, of looking at service and kind of that component in practice with physically being on the ground in Africa.
Exactly.
Exactly,
a real direct experience practice.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully through the blogs, everyone else gets to have the direct experience again, which, you know, I do hear from people that there is a sense of, you know, being carried along and in the journey as people read the blogs.
Uh-huh. And really being with you and with the team down there, looking at everything that you're looking at and having that experience of connection, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the experience, because, you know, I get the photos from Teresa each week, and they get posted up on the Teresa's blog. So for people who don't follow that, they can start doing that. So we do get weekly little snippets. And it truly does. Every week when those come in, it reconnects me with, oh, that's right, every single day they're doing that. That group mm-hmm. of amazing folks is continuing that work. And, you know, being life being what it is, at least for me, it's so easy to get directly focused on what I'm doing at the monastery and what's going on here, and then to have that daily reminder, I mean, that weekly reminder of, wow, that whole entire other thing, piece of living compassion is happening all the way over there.
Mm-hmm. And Jen, perhaps you could look at it and see or start to say a little bit about what you feel are the practice principles or the experiences of practice that we are we're trying to get while we do this project.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what
for
is
me,
it for you?
For me, a big piece of it is I was just thinking about how it's amazing that life called us to this project in the way that it did. We weren't looking for a project, you know. It just happened. I mean, I think probably most people know the history of it at this point, that Sherry was in Italy working on a peace project, and she met this fellow from Zambia, and he had this vision, this dream, and it invited Sherry into it, and she just said yes. So it just feels like such a perfect example of, you know, we weren't seeking out to, quote, serve. It just literally life said, hey, here's something you could do. Here's the, you know, it's the gratitude wants to give. It's the, as we practice, as we free up the energy from being in the conversation in the head, from the voices siphoning it off, there's just a ton of energy and an interest and a desire to participate with life. And the way that manifests, it feels like in practice, is yes. You know, whatever comes along is yes. And this is the community, you know, 15,000 miles away or whatever it is, on the other side of the globe, you know, down a dirt road, much like the monastery is down a dirt road. It's amazing that we got called there. And it just, it feels so much like it points that, you know, you couldn't, on a given day, I feel like when I'm out in Cantalomba, you can't say so-and-so serving so-and-so. Everyone is being served and everyone is serving.
Well, and yeah, so everyone is serving. And I think if I can underline something that you said as the largest practice principle here, right, is the reason we want to get out of a relationship with the voices of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is because we aren't allowed to participate and simply say yes when life calls. We miss the call to life, in fact.
Exactly.
And we miss completely that we are participating. I mean, there's no other reality other than this, but I think what we miss the opportunity when we are in that process of separation is
mm-hmm.
really the experience of participation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And from the place of being in the relationship with the voices, service is, you know, something I should do and I should, but it's not that at all. It's, yeah, just as you say, it's being present to receive life's invitation to for the next place to participate.
So it's just, if I might reflect that, the voices would have us believe that service is something that we have to do. It actually underlines the separation. There's someone who is sort of unequal, if you will,
right,
that one
right.
has to give to, and that I'm mm-hmm. the person who has, and there's someone who doesn't have,
mm-hmm.
and that we are in a relationship of giving. And
mm-hmm.
it's such a place of separation and such a place of scarcity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which
and you
is
know,
contrasting, sorry, to what you were saying earlier, right, Jen, where
yeah.
when we feel, when we are here now and we're grateful for everything that we've been given,
yeah.
there is no self-separation and we just give because that is what participation is.
Yeah, it's very well put, very well put. And, you know, it strikes me, Ashwini, as you're talking, that one of the things I know that draws me to the work in Africa, and I've heard other folks express it, both people who have come with us and just people who spend time in those parts of the world in general, is that for whatever set of reasons, there seems to be, I project, such an ability on the part of folks in the community that we're working with to directly feel what they have in their lives. There's much less of an emphasis, it feels like, on what they don't have or what how it should be. But I always go back to this example, but it's so impacted me, and I've seen it in many, many other ways. But when those roofs went on, the new tin roofs went on the houses, and for somebody in the United States, that's such a simple, taken-for-granted kind of a thing. In fact, I would project people get resentful that now I have to spend all this money on my new roof, you know, and I could be going to a vacation in Florida or whatever. But the gratitude in that, the appreciation for it was so deep that that changed me forever. I realizing that, wow, to have a practice that allows one to be present to their lives and be in touch with the abundance that we all have is such a gift.
Uh-huh. And so when we go there, when we participate in their lives, we are, you know, practice is being modeled for us in a way that we can learn. And so it's really one of those, life teaches us in all forms and all manifestations. And in this practice of participating with that community is teaching us how to be present to what is and to the abundance of all that is.
That's exactly it. And again, you know, it's impossible to say who's the beneficiary here. We all are.
Right. Well, and that's what we're trying to bring that focus back to what we're doing this quarter in the cooperative of practice. Right. We started out with how the voices separate us from our own authenticity, and then they separate us from our body. And how they maintain that separation of self and other. And that's what we're looking at this quarter. And I think what we're saying with the work that we're doing in Cantalomba is that we have the ability to practice there is no self and other. And when we look at that line from the daily recollection, it's in being in that place of oneness, then there's just the reciprocity of giving and receiving, where there's no one that's receiving or giving, but it's just how life works. And we participate in that dance of supporting each other. And in that realization, realize we're all the Buddha, right? The suchness exists, and it basically mirrors and resonates with itself everywhere.
And it's such a compassionate way of being with each other. You know, there's no, as you said earlier, there's no, I don't know, to even say, you use the word inequality, I think, but there's no, you said it, but it just strikes me as you're saying that it's such a compassionate way to be with each other. It's so kind and so, you know, it's not condescending. It's not, oh, poor us or poor you. It's just clear, kind compassion. We're in this together. Let's make a difference together.
Well, and I say, Jen, I think the word you're searching for is love. Right? We're just pure love. There's no obligation. There's no sense of duty. We come from that expression of life, because we can connect to the innocence that we see, the goodness that we see in ourselves, which is what we're projecting and seeing out there. And it's such a tremendous practice of being able to give that love and compassion to the place that we can actually feel it. So in other words, to complete the loop, the projection, and see that in our ability to give it to what we perceive as other, we're actually practicing the ability or growing the ability to give it to ourselves, which is what we don't do.
That is so beautifully put, Ashwini. And then to loop it once back through once more, and then once we receive it for ourselves, we wouldn't dream of ever treating anyone in any other way but that they are the Buddha.
That's right.
I mean, it's a version of the, you know, how do we end war? Well, we have to have everyone meet everyone else on the globe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a. Wow.
Well,
so
then
I know,
I, Yeah. We are running out. Yes, we're running
out
of
time.
We're
out of time. Yeah.
But perhaps.
But more to come.
More to come. And I think there's a big encouragement to look for the blog and to stay tuned to Good News, because we're going to be doing a live broadcast from Zambia. And there's excitement about the project. And apparently the Bridgewalk registration is now open.
Yay, and excellent. Okay.
And people can look forward to receiving little reminders about the Bridge Walk and other ways to raise fundraisers and to do fundraisers and things like that. And I believe that the workshop on the 25th for the co-op retreat is going to be focused on this theme. So we're inviting the Sangha to participate in looking at, the theme that we're talking about, which is participation in life, being just being present and letting life manifest as ourselves in that in that experience and expression of pure love.
Oh, I'm really excited for it. I know you're going to record that workshop on the 25th that's coming up, so that's good, because I don't think we'll be up in the middle of the night doing that. But really excited for the whole Bridgewalk season. And I'm hoping, you know, if every person in the Sangha were to register for the Bridgewalk, whether they could actually be with us or not, boy, that would be a huge contribution to, you know, it's just a tangible way for everyone to jump in and participate in that, in the energy of what we're creating this quarter. So thanks, Ashwini.
Thanks, Jen. Safe journey safe travels. Take care.
Thank you.
We'll hear from you often.
Yeah, you sure will.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Good night.
Take care.
Good night, you two. Thank you very much. And good evening, everyone, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. My name is Justin. I'm filling in for Michael this evening. Sherry, are you out there?
I am.
All right.
Yes, finally, it's all working. Huh?
Some
practice challenges to your
for
new
sure.
role here.
For sure. And a little faith. It tends to work out at some point.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that was pretty darn exciting, wasn't it?
Wasn't it? What an amazing conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. You know, the thing I really got from that was, our practice is not a theoretical practice.
Yes. Well said.
We are actually doing our practice in what we're doing, and it's to see it happening in that form is incredibly moving.
Yeah, and I really resonated with what, you know, Jen was saying, that we get so involved in what we're doing here, and everybody does, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever we're doing in our own lives. But for us, what we're doing is practice and offering practice and retreats and email classes and radio shows and all of that. And then to realize that we tend to realize that Sangha is out there around the world in their own lives practicing too, but to think of that whole community over there, just day after day after day, showing up and doing it and really modeling a commitment to participation and service and love that is inspiring, that we can learn a great deal from every time we turn our attention there.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. Yep. You know, there's these there are two places, at least, like two hubs. There's the monastery and there's the property in Cantalomba. And then it's like kind of like, all of Sangha is surrounding those two places. We're all participating in that together, inspiring each other, moving each other, helping each other.
Yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and of course, those of us who follow along with what happens in Cantalomba, was indicated, we can't wait to see those faces showing up in those pictures on the blogs and just see how it's going. And
yeah, you know, I was reading something you read recently, and I'm going to butcher it, but you said something along the lines of, one of the best ways I can think of to explain what practice is learning to let life live us. And it seemed like this is such a good example of it, especially when Jen was talking about kind of being called towards Cantalomba. and then thinking about like the photos that are going to be coming through, and you know we have life in our form here, and there's life in that form there. We're all learning how to let life live us in this context that we're in.
Yes, yes, and I just had a great moment right minutes before getting on this this show. I wrote the last response to the email class.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. and what the person had written in was talking about how if life experiences itself through us,
mm-hmm.
that we're an expression of life and life experiences life through us,
mm-hmm.
then when we direct our attention, the quality of all life is determined by the focus of our attention.
Not wow.
Just, yeah.
I don't think I've ever looked at it like that before.
I don't think I ever looked at it like that either.
So what you're saying is it's like life is one.
Yes.
And it's kind of like a body has, you know, fingers and eyes and ears,
yeah.
and there's lots of ways to experience life in a body.
Yes.
So each incarnation is like a part in the body, but the body is one.
Yes, so we're if we think about it in that the way we talk about it, we're all cells in the body of the Buddha,
mm-hmm.
right? All directing attention to life, to here, to now,
mm-hmm.
this here,
mm-hmm.
now. Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Yep, yep.
Uh-huh. Yeah, then the quality of that whole that wholeness of life is determined by that focus of attention.
Wow. Boy, you know, that makes my particular, you have to put my in quotes, but my particular focus of attention really, really important.
Really important. Yeah, really important. And it just felt like it fits so much with what Jen and Ashwini were just talking about, that not losing sight of what all of this is and we could say what it means, because it is all of us having an experience of love, expressing that love, giving and receiving the love that life is.
Mm-hmm.
And as you say, in such a tangible way, not in theory, but in our actions, our contribution, our participation.
Yeah, and that's how we experience it, isn't it? Is through we take that action. We step out of like a passive relationship with life, and we join, and then that's when we get to experience it.
Yes, yeah, holding hands.
Mm. God,
just like
neat.
Ram Dass said.
All right. Well, shall we proceed? What do you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
We'll go ahead and get started now, Justin.
Okay, I got a few little things here.
All right,
one is some announcements. Now, this one is, you and Ashwini are actually doing a talk at the East West Bookstore in Mountain View.
That is correct.
On August the 15th.
Yes, which would be this day after tomorrow.
Yeah. Now, it says here that it looks like the event is sold out and there's a waiting list. So
just
to kind of make the announcement disappoint people, but they might be able to, you know, contact and see if there's room and if they can make it.
Yeah, because, you know, people sign up for an event, and I think it's a free event. So
it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so people often say, yeah, I'll be there, and then something comes up. And so, I would hope people would give it a shot if they, you know, unless it's a real hardship, because the odds are good that there will be room.
Yeah, there's just about always cancellations.
Yeah.
And then another one I have is that the registration is still open for the What You Practice, What You Have in September.
Yes.
Which is a fabulous retreat and also different from anything else that you will ever experience here at the monastery.
Yes. Yeah. You know, Justin, I mean, we say this, but there are a few places in practice that a person really should not miss. The first one, of course, is There's Nothing Wrong With You.
Absolutely.
The second one is one that's coming up just shortly. I think this weekend it starts, the Not What But How, where we get the five processes.
That's right.
The next thing, of course, is any and everything that assists people in recording and listening practice.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you practice is what you have, the WYP retreat, which is unlike anything else that that we do,
mm-hmm.
and then the Transcending Resistance retreat. So that's kind of the levels and layers of practice. And really, a person who's serious about this practice really doesn't want to miss any of those steps, because
mm-hmm.
they are distinct. What is steps a good? I don't know if steps is a good word, but it's like each is a unique focus or a unique piece of information
mm-hmm.
that kind of puts the puzzle together.
Yeah, that puzzle. That's what I was thinking of too. They're all essential to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's necessary really to have all those points of view in order to really get what practice is completely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just kind of a word to the wise, because you know, we don't know what's going to happen after this year. I think some of these are going to drop off the schedule for a while, and to, you know, so that we can have more new things come
mm-hmm.
on.
So people might want to take advantage of the What You Practice retreat if they haven't.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Next up, I want to give the call-in information. To call in, it's 1-888-4-SANGHA, which is the same as 888-472-6442, 472-6442. The call ID is 15406, and then you can just press 1 pound, or your PIN followed by pound. And we might give folks a little pep talk here, Jerry, because we have lots of people listening on the call, but very few people wanting to speak.
Well, that's no good, is it?
It really isn't any good.
Voyeurs. No.
Yeah.
Especially after all that talk that we just did about participating. And, you know, it's funny because I have been kind of chiding people about that tendency. And then the people are good sports. And so they say, well, okay, I didn't really have anything to say. And then they get on the call and say these unbelievably inspiring things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, now, which part of that was not having anything to say?
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it benefits everyone.
Yes.
Yeah, which is, I mean, it really is practice. Practice is not hanging back and just receiving, but it really is, you know, we all have to step into practice to make
yep.
it happen.
Yep. Yep, we do. All right. Well, you got any
I do.
Tears there? Good.
Yeah, we can get started.
All right.
So,
and then the rest of them will go, okay.
All right. So
all
here
right,
we go.
Thanks, Justin.
Let's see. We got a rookie of the controls here. Let's see how we do. Whoops. Oh, okay.
Just cut that one off.
Hold on, we have a little problem. Hang on, it has to reload. Hang on just a second.
That's all right. We're patient people.
Okay.
We can always breathe and meditate.
Okay, that was fast. Let's try it now. Okay, first caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Scott in Denver.
Hello, Scott.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Man, I can just feel my energy is super high right now. It's just very exciting to listen to all the things that we're talking about.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then it hits you are unmuted. And
yeah. Whee! Well, that was part of the excitement. I decided to label it that rather than anxiety.
Yes, very good. Very good. Well, what's going on?
Well, I'm just feeling really grateful for practice, and the Enneagram class was amazing, so thank you for all your effort there, and also, obviously, everyone else's, including mine, participation. That was great, and
yes.
Just really benefiting from the awareness coaching practice, too. So,
oh, good.
Yeah. So I kind of wanted to talk about one thing that I think I've heard from you and from others for a while now is so kind of the Enneagram class, I'm a type 2, and my focus a lot of times is outside relationships.
Uh-huh.
And I think I've been hearing for a long time that what I what I really want is this guy that's here. So the practice is here with me, with life, with the mentor. And I feel like I'm just starting to kind of catch some glimpses, like experientially, as was kind of being pointed out before, that that is the case. that is true. I feel like part of what's been helpful, I don't know, I guess I've been seeing that life has been giving me what I need constantly, which is not the same thing as what I want.
Oh, gosh. Let's do stop and underline that one. Yeah, because before we do actually quite a bit of practice, there's often a deep confusion about that. It's like life is not on my side because I'm not getting what I want. But as you point out, I'm always, always, always getting what I need.
Yeah, and that's really reassuring, and it feels so deeply loving to experience that.
Yes.
And my direct experience, kind of what I was saying at the beginning, was so Scott's been going around for a long time looking for an outside relationship so he can kind of feel the way he wants to feel. And then it can even be, you know, sound even more believable in practice. It's like, well, I'm going to go out there and find a woman to do practice with. That's who I'll marry, and our life will be amazing together.
Uh-huh.
So I found this person that I thought that's what was going to happen. And then through a series of events, she's kind of on the opposite side of that. She doesn't want to do practice, and she's expressed to me pretty regularly in the last 6 months that she's not comfortable with me doing practice.
Okay.
And sort of what's come out of that for me is that I want somebody else keeps failing. And the only thing left to do is to turn here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And
we may be our last choice, but we are our best choice.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
It is. And that's really where all the love is coming. All the love is coming from, and all the trust in life is coming, and that's that part where, this is not the outside relationship I would have designed to be engaged to someone who, I think I project feels very threatened by practice at this point, and it's really beautiful how the encouragement is to develop the relationship here.
Uh-huh. Yes. And now, go ahead, Scott.
Well, so I don't know if I think for a long time I was like, well, I need some reassurance here. Maybe I've already kind of found my reassurance, but, you know, you and I have talked a lot about outside relationships, and one of the things we've talked about is, you know, basically find someone that you have some similar values with and learn to love them. And, you know, some things that might not work out is if somebody is aligning themselves with conditioning or doesn't want you to do practice. And I don't know, it's funny because when I listen to ego says, you know, you're making the biggest mistake of your life. This is horrible. How can you be with someone who's not doing practice or supporting your practice? But I'm not sure. I don't know if that's really true. You know, even though she's saying these things, I'm not really sure that's what's going on. So I guess, you know, I guess I'm hearing this get out of this relationship, but I actually feel like I'm exactly where I need to be.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, while you were talking, what arose was how often cultures, religions encourage people to find partnership within the same religion or the same culture, primarily because there are so many things against a relationship anyway, that if you add a lot of other stresses to the relationship, it just really does make it harder than it needs to be, which isn't to say we shouldn't choose in that direction, but we can know that it's going to make it more difficult. So, you know, if she doesn't want to do the practice that you do, that's actually not a problem, as long as she doesn't mind you doing it.
Right.
So in the same way, if she has something that is comparable for her, as long as you know that you can support her in that wholeheartedly, then it won't be an issue, because you can support one another in doing something different in the same way you could support one another in doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the supporting one another that's the point, not what it is that you're doing.
Yeah, well, I just, that word keeps coming up about love. And, you know, I think, you know, ego runs my practice a lot. And I think in a lot of ways I have kind of given her practice in ego form. So,
ooh.
You know, she feels excluded, or that I basically choose practice over her and that kind of thing. So, yeah, so that's, I feel like that's kind of already happened. And I guess I'm just in this place of exactly what the type two was talking about, which is life is living me, divine will is unfolding. So every time I try to like point something out to her or try to get her to be different, coming back to that mantra sort of allows me to just accept both of us where we're at rather than making it different.
Yes. And, you know, Scott, when you are doing practice the way you know it's possible for you to practice, what I suspect is going to happen with her is that she's going to say, now, sweetheart, don't you need to go to meditation? Aren't you going to sign up for a retreat? Because she can see that she's reaping the benefits of the work that you're doing.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's kind of a challenge for us, you know, instead of a detriment, it's an encouragement. It's an inspiration for us to be the best that we can be, so that
right.
someone else can see how our practice benefits them.
Yeah, in a way, it reminds me of that, do for the love of others that we won't do for ourselves. So,
yes.
And, you know, if I'm kind of clinging to ego, maybe the encouragement to let go is for her. I mean,
yes.
Which ultimately is
for
life, but yeah, for me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's very good, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very reassuring, actually.
And if it goes in the direction of, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to go. I don't want you to go on retreat. I don't want you to meditate. I don't, you know, then that'll simply be another inspiration for your practice to go deeper.
Yeah, that's that. Everything is here for me to practice with. Everything is my best opportunity to wake up and end suffering.
Yes. Yeah. And I go back to what you said early on, that for us to recognize that giving somebody what they want is easy. And it's often something that we do because it benefits us, makes our lives easier in some way.
Right.
But giving what's needed is much, much, much more challenging and far more loving.
Right. Right. That's what good parents and good guides do.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, thank you.
Well, you keep in touch, huh?
Okay, I will. Thanks, Sherry.
Right.
Thanks, Justin.
Thanks. Good night, Scott.
Bye.
Thanks a lot for joining us, Scott. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Chair, we were thinking this evening, instead of having the little commercial announcements, we'd take a few moments of silence.
Oh, that sounds lovely. Thank you.
Okay, so we'll do that now, and then we'll start back up.
All right.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. So, Sherry, I'm going to try a little experiment here. If you're up for it, there's some stuff happening on the screen. I'm not sure what it means, but I think we might have some callers here.
All right.
So let's give this a try. Hang on just a second.
Hello.
Ah.
Hey.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Justin. It's Sri Devi.
Hey, Sri Devi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. You?
I'm doing great. I'm doing really good.
All right. Well, tell us about it.
Well, actually, all of the conversation and the good news updates was really great because I feel wonderful. You know, just being here and listening, and I really appreciated, by the way, the moment of silence. That was really great because I really sat and stayed with my breath, and of course, my heartbeat, which was like beating 5,000 times a minute, and the possibility that I could be the next caller, and I was, so that's kind of exciting.
Intuition.
Yeah, I'm calling because I need some advice or support around a situation where there was a situation that occurred this past weekend, and where I made a series of decisions and kind of went unconscious. I wasn't able to be present and make better choices for myself. That ended up hurting my partner. And, you know, and kind of sitting in the couple of days after that, seeing everything that the voices are doing and all of the how could you should have, it's not that bad duality to it's the worst thing in the entire world, you know, back and forth, which is a lot of fun to see that one because, you know, just watching the justification of it's really okay and then it's really not okay. And I see everything that the voices are doing, and I keep coming back to center and breathing. But the thing that still remains, which is just the disappointment and feeling kind of ashamed and the struggle with just the acknowledgement that I've hurt somebody and someone who I love and care about very deeply. And it's just really hard, and there are moments where I have levity and can be here and go through the process. And then, of course, the voices come in and want to tell me that it's not, I can't have that because I need to feel bad for the rest of my life.
Right.
And, you know.
Punished. Yeah.
And I, what I'm seeing is these two beliefs that are really strong. And there's a ton of beliefs that have showed up, but for those beliefs, I see them. But these ones, it's like the part of me that just really believes them, and it's that I would never be that person, and also
that you would never have done such a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Or been so unthoughtful, and I think the disappointment in that is going, it's a little bit of the you've been practicing.
Oh, yeah.
You had the opportunity to make better choices, and you didn't, and I expect better of you.
Right. Although let us be clear that that voice was not there offering you a different choice in the moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? So
true.
Nobody was there. Nobody was there with her when it was time for her to, you know. And so.
Yeah.
Now everybody has a better idea now that it's over.
Yeah. Absolutely. And just also the other belief of there's some there's some period of beating I need to go through before I can move on.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
What that period is who knows, but
yeah.
it's probably forever, right? It is forever. It is forever. And so
well,
just
yes.
kind of sitting with that. Yeah.
Yes, if you're not careful, it will be. Because,
yes, yes.
Yeah, because the voices, and we hear this from people all the time, you know, it's 15, 20, 30, 60 years after the fact, and the voices are still coming in a quiet moment wanting to beat the person up over it.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
to me, the very best thing that we can do with something like this is to recommit.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think one of the primary emotions that you expressed was disappointment. And
yeah.
and to stay in that disappointment, to realize, wow, the you know, when I'm not here, people
yeah.
will make bad decisions and the result can be very hurtful, very painful. So I don't want to do that. I want to
yeah.
recommit. I want to do everything I can to be as present and conscious as humanly possible, because I don't ever want to be in this situation again. Not because I'm a bad person. It has
yeah.
nothing to do with being a bad person. It's that that was a really painful lesson, and I would like to only learn it once. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then instead of apologizing to the other person, because that's the other egocentric scam. So I'll say to you, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, and then you're supposed to let me off the hook, right? Now,
yes.
of course, it didn't do a thing for you that I apologized to you, because you still had the experience that you had, and it's still painful, and you're still dealing with it in whatever way. But then I can feel off the hook. Right, so I apologize. I'm really sorry, and I've suffered. I've felt bad and guilty, and I've suffered. So I've paid my debt to society, and then of course there's the voices of self-hate that are going to use all of that forever. So instead of going down any of that track, to just say to the other person, what has gone on with you? This is what happened. This is what I've seen. And what I want to do is use the pain of this, of realizing what I've done, the disappointment of that, seeing you hurt and feeling the pain of that. I want to use this to commit to never, to the best of my ability, never doing anything like this again. And
mm-hmm.
so that's the very best I can offer you out of this situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you, as always, you hit the nail on the head. I think it's because that's what, as I've been sitting with it, and again, just so grateful for the practice, because the emotion in the body is, intense,
yeah.
Nausea
yeah.
every morning, and just sitting on the cushion and just breathing and,
yeah.
and being okay and being very conscious of not abandoning myself
yeah.
and
yeah.
going unconscious again because
yes.
the pain
oh,
is there.
Good point. There it is.
Yeah.
There it is, right? Because
yeah.
that's what it wants you to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Abandon
I can't handle it. I have
conscious.
To escape again.
Yeah. yeah.
And
yeah.
And that is actually what's come up is going, how did that happen? And I know and I'd seen the build. And
yeah.
so the incident wasn't singular. I was like, and I'd had the awareness about a week ago going, I think I need to not do that anymore because it's not healthy. And if I don't stop doing it, I think something bad's really going to happen.
Yeah.
Or just not bad, but I just knew it.
Yeah.
And then realizing I just checked out still. And then I went, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
This actually isn't what I thought was going to happen. I thought it would be something else, but okay. And then just realizing that recommitment, going, I actually don't want to be here. I want to be so present to my life
yes.
that any decision I make, whether or not the situation that happened, part of the hurt I think was going to show up at some point because it was there's no point in going into that, but that I could be present and be there to have a conversation from a place of presence.
Yes.
Then from a place of unconsciousness.
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
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 yeah. And now again, that's really good to see because what karmic conditioning would use that to do to you is, see, you knew and you did it anyway.
Yeah, you knew.
You knew ahead of time. But what you got is, you know, I was getting that information and I didn't recognize it for what it was.
Yeah.
Next time, I think I'm going to be able to pay closer attention. I'm going to recognize it when that sort of intuition drops in, and I'm going to use it to come to instead of part of unconsciousness.
Yeah, and I think now it's just, I think the hurt is the part, is one of the hardest pieces, like knowing that you've hurt someone that you love and care about, and just kind of breathing through that and being, you know, how do you find the okay with that? Because it doesn't feel like it's ever going to be okay.
Yeah, but now that's one thing you got to commit to, is nipping that off right now, because otherwise it will go on forever. So the way we use that is to grow compassion. Because to really, again, stay with the disappointment of deeply hurting someone that you love, that staying with that experience is going to enable you to have so much more compassion for others who find themselves in similar situations.
Yeah.
Right? And so when somebody does something that hurts you, to go back to that place and realize, wow, that very likely came out of unconsciousness. There was no intention to it. I know how that feels. I know how somebody does something like that. I get that. And then, you know, it really is a, and there's a word that is not coming to me, but it's a way of honoring the love that you feel for your partner, that this sort of transformation would happen in you. Can you see what I mean by that?
Absolutely, yeah.
It's like a gift.
Thank you.
It's like
a
gift. It's a really painful gift, but it's a gift.
And
that you know, in relationship, that's kind of what we do. You know, we learn and grow together, and a lot of that involves pain.
Yeah. And I think whether this relationship continues or not, it's the gift of that I can also give to myself for any relationship I'm involved with in my life.
Any, right.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, we take this into all of the relationships in our lives, not just that kind of intimate relationship, because there are big, huge hurts, and there are little hurts, little slights, and insensitivity and that sort of thing. And we want to have the same, we want to bring the same conscious awareness, conscious compassion and awareness to every interaction in our lives, so that each interaction can be with as much compassion as we can manage.
Yeah.
Good. Hard, but valuable. Scott. Back to Scott's thing. You know, it's not what we would ever want, but we can see that we need it, because it's how we learn these kinds of lessons.
Yes. Oh, well, thank you so much, Harry. And I'm going to try to come in on Thursday, so I hope to see you then and
be good.
On that wait list. I'm really hopeful that I'll get to see you in Ashwini.
Oh, great. We'll look forward to it. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sri Devi. You are listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber, and that was very helpful, as was a previous conversation in a real practical kind of a way.
Uh-huh.
We're sort of on a theme here, it feels like.
We're on a theme, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. And we have, we actually looks like we have a bunch more callers, so I'm going to just...
better hustle on.
Yeah, we're going to get moving here, so hang on just one second. So, next caller, are you there?
Yes. Hi. Who is this?
Catherine. Hey, Catherine.
Hi.
From St. Louis.
Yes, from St. Louis.
There you go.
Last week, I committed to a life without fear.
Uh-huh.
And I have had many opportunities since then to practice to recommitting. And what I'm seeing some things about it, and any guidance would be most welcome. There seem to be a lot of things going on with my house that needing repair and maintenance, some fairly expensive, some not quite as much. And there's just a lot of worry and anxiety about it.
Yeah.
Like, can it be fixed?
Yeah.
Will the whole thing crumble into the basement?
And who are you going to get, and how do you trust them, and what do you know? How do you know if it's they're going to do a good job and they're just going to rip you off and all those kinds of things?
Yeah, and just who to find.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, who do I – and so what I've noticed is, like, I'm just going, you know, one step at a time and calling who I can think of to call and trying to get, you know, just taking care of it. And I was noticing a couple days ago, I'm starting to hate my house.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't appreciate it. I'm thinking, oh, why clean this place? I mean,
it's just going to fall down anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And when I was listening to the Good News update about the roofs on the houses in Zambia and how grateful the people were, and I'm just thinking, wow, this is my shelter here. I'm so lucky to have a house. And I'm just noticing that it's like where I was with this pattern was as soon as I can sell this house, I'm getting out of here and I'm going to go live in a rental property and make the landlord take care of everything. And then, complain daily. And and as if I'm going to live happily ever after doing that.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
That's nirvana, somebody else's property.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So I am still committed. The email class really helped with this.
Oh, good.
And and the strategy, the change in behavior, the strategies of the holy idea, and I'm using everybody's holy idea.
I think it's best. I don't know who came up with that first. Maybe it was you, but that was brilliant. Why limit ourselves, for goodness' sake?
Right.
Yeah. Let's have
right.
All mine.
I mean, they're all good.
Yeah, you know, they're all
so,
good. Yeah.
And so I guess I'm in this place where I'm still having the sensations of anxiety and wishing I were somewhere else, and kind of this, I'll kind of cycle into some depression and then I'll get out of that, and I'm just kind of trying to stay with myself.
Okay.
And
I have an idea.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. So there are several things that there are so many things that we believe that are bogus, and how things work is one of the places where we have huge belief systems that are bogus.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse
okay.
me. And so I don't know if you heard, I think Jen talked about this on the Thursday night Learning to Love Learning. Are you doing that? Are you on Thursday night?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Well, she's decided that she's going to build a bathroom for herself.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, not just, retile the sink, but build a bathroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so she is hot on learning everything that she can about building. Now, the good news is that on the internet now, we have access to everything that we would ever want to know about anything,
mm-hmm.
right? And so you could actually become your own resource, your own authority that you could turn to on this house business. Now, I'm not saying that you want to hop up there and re-roof the place if that's part of what it needs. You could, though. You could.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually, my very own little self, put many, many, many roofs on houses. It's not that hard. Well, it's hard work, but it's not that difficult, okay? So instead of feeling like, oh, my God, you know, there's this, 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 and this, you could actually begin a process of informing yourself about these various things. So rather than feeling like you have to call up a total stranger and with no information at all embark on this process of taking care of this house, you could actually approach it with your first priority being taking care of the house.
Hmm.
Does this all sound daunting?
Well, no. And in fact, you know, I've lived here 15 years, and I kind of know some people to call, and what is happening is if they don't know, they'll hunt around and try to find somebody for me.
Yes.
And I do have people on my team here.
Uh-huh.
With
that's
that.
Very
I
good.
Do,
that's very
yeah,
good.
Yeah, and I'm doing some of the work myself.
Very good. And, very good.
Yeah, and it, very simple. I mean, nothing, you know, very
well,
intricate
thing,
at all, but I'm yeah.
But the thing
but
about
it's just,
is if you can take it on as a way of being with yourself and being with your house. Now, if we circle all the way back to Ashwini and Jen talking about service early on in the show, you know, mm-hmm. now you're in service to this house that has really served you quite well. So mm-hmm. to have that attitude of mind that you can do simple things and you can actually learn to do and enjoy more complex things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Until even if you're not the person actually doing the work, you can be a really good partner with the person who is doing the physical labor.
Mm-hmm.
So that you're informed. And so when the person starts talking about what has to be done, is it the roof?
It's the basement foundation. It's a very old house, and it's got a brick foundation,
uh-huh.
and some of the mortar is old, and it got damp. It's damp in the basement, and it's starting to crumble.
Mm-hmm.
The foundation is still okay. I mean, the foundation people have come and looked at it and said they don't see any structural thing.
Oh, okay.
But I've got to dry out the it's got to. I'm having a dehumidifier installed, and to dry it out, and then I'm going to have some tuck pointing. And when you were talking, what kind of came up was maybe I could learn some tuck pointing.
There you go.
And I could work with somebody.
There you,
you
go.
Know?
There you go. And it takes, now again, back full circle to the participation. You know, when we're not participating, it's easy for karmic conditioning to turn us into victims.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're the recipients, and not in a positive sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're the recipients of everything that's happening. But when
yeah.
we're participating, when we're active in everything that's going on, we feel like actors. We feel
mm-hmm.
empowered, right? So you're right there. You're working with, you're making decisions together, you're looking at it, you're deciding, and
mm-hmm.
it feels empowering and exciting instead of
mm-hmm.
overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
And it sounds like, caring for the house, in service to the house.
Yeah. Caring for a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Somebody was wrote this little story about being in the kitchen at the monastery and hating to clean the lettuce spinner. It is a monster, miserable thing. And and just hating it. And then finally deciding, well, this isn't getting us anywhere. So I'm going to make friends with the salad spinner. And cleaning it is doing something for my friend that my friend can't do for itself.
Hmm.
And so there's your house. You know,
mm-hmm.
the two of you really are in this together. It's a
mm-hmm.
it's a lifetime partnership. And so this is something your house can't do for itself. It's done so much for you, right? You've done so much for it. And this is something it can't do for itself, but you can do for it.
Mhm. Yeah, that's very nice. Yeah.
I can feel the house is happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, that's what's been missing. Love for this house.
Yeah.
I lost touch with that.
Yes. And
so it became a big burden.
That's right. And back to what you started out talking about, right? The fear took over, and when there's fear,
mm-hmm.
there's no room for love.
Mm-hmm.
But the good news is when there's love, there's no room for fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yes, well, thank you. That's very helpful. Thank you. Now, that's my Learning to Love Learning project again. A new one.
You got a new one. Yay.
Learning to Love My Basement.
Yes.
Thank you so
All
much.
Right. Thank you. Good night.
Uh-huh. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Catherine. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Justin,
Sherry,
I think you're a natural. I think you're gifted.
I'll tell you, I will never take for granted what Michael is doing behind the scenes.
I know it's a lot, isn't it?
It's amazing how much goes into it. It really is remarkable.
Yeah.
It's fun, though. I mean, it's fun to just be able to participate in a new way.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Well, we sure appreciate it because everybody kind of went on. Things happened,
mm-hmm.
right? And you stepped in, and we certainly do appreciate it.
Yeah, and I wanted to say the same thing to you, Sherry, too. It's just thank you for your very long-term commitment to the show and to the people who listen. It feels like just such a gift and a contribution.
Thank you.
So thank you for being here every week for us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. I can't say talk to you next week. I mean, I probably won't, so I'll just say thank you for this.
And thank you for this also, Sherry.
All right.
Take care. Good night, everyone.